Okay, so we, at the request of someone who is currently not here, we're doing this idea of dairy bread. So this appears in the two sugyot are both in Psachim. One we already saw in Lamed Vav, and one is on Lamed Amud Aleph at the bottom of the page. So let's read both of them in turn. So first, if you turn, and it's all on the sheet over here, but if you turn to the Gemara on Lamed Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, "Ahu tanura de tachu beitichaya." You have an oven, and they greased it with meat, and then they used it to break bread. So Rava bar Ahilai, the mechle le rifta fil b'milcha leolam, dumate le mechla bekutcha. Rava bar Ahilai forbade eating this bread even with salt. Gzera, that you might end up taking this meat bread and dipping it into kutach, which, if you remember, is that horrible spoiled milk,
moldy bread dip.
But the point is that we don't let you eat it even with pariv, because you might end up eating with dairy. So now the Gemara says, Meitve, is this the case? Ein loshen etayisa bechalav. You're not allowed to knead bread with milk, dough with milk. V'imlash kol hapat kula masura. And if you do need it, the bread is prohibited. Mipnei hergel avera. Because it might lead to, it might habituate you to prohibition. And kayotebo, similarly, ein tashin et tanur be'alia. You don't smear the inside of the oven with the fatty tail of a sheep. V'imtash, and if you did call a pot kula asura sheasiket atanur, the bread that you will bake will be prohibited unless you had burnt out, right, koshered the oven. So husak atanur mi asharis, the Gemara says that shows you that koshering is sufficient. Now this contradicts the position of Rava bar Ahilai, who had previously said that koshering wouldn't help. Tiyufta de Rava bar Ahilai. Tiyufta. So this disproves Rav Arbi Lai. Now I'm not going to leave the koshering aside. Yes? Chalav. It's milk. Oh, this one, no meat. This is kosher meat. What? No, this is because it's meat. This is permitted meat, correct. Okay? So the Gemara here on Lamed tells us that you're not allowed to have two things. What are they?
Meat bread, and dairy bread.
Right, and dairy bread. Why?
Because you'll end up accidentally.
Because they'll lead you to eating
meat bread with dairy and dairy bread with meat.
Opposite, which we call
basar v'chalav.
Basar v'chalav, right?
Meat and milk. Well, you're having a bagel right now, which you put cheese on. If you didn't realize that bagel was in fact meat, right, because it had fat, it had animal fat baked into it, then you would make a cheese sandwich. And similarly, if you took that and put chopped liver on it, right, and it was made with milk, so it would be... Correct, right? Bread, right? You put things on it, you put cheese, you put chopped liver, you make a hamburger, right? So if the hamburger bun was dairy, and then you put on a hamburger, so it would be usser. And therefore, we don't let you make the bread to begin with. Okay? Before we do any svara, let's read the second Gemara, which we already read, and then we will try to understand it. That's the Gemara on Lamed Vav. So if you remember, the way we got into this sugya was because the on Lamed Vav, we were dealing with matzah that is kneaded with things other than water. Right. And the Gemara brought up there that Kadamar Yoshua Livnei Yoma Kama Lotalusha Livachalba. There, Yeshua had told his son, don't knead it with milk on the first night. Mikan Vailach Lushi Livachalba. And from then on, you can. So the Gemara had then broken into a parenthetical comment, which is, wait a second, leave aside the matzah ashira concern. What are you talking about? Tanya in Lashon Ha'iza b'chalav. You're not allowed to make any sort of bread with milk. V'im lash, and if you did need it with milk, kol ha'pat asura. All of the bread becomes forbidden, mipnei hergel avera, because it will lead people to sin. Again, you'll have the hamburger on this dairy bread. Ella, and therefore the Gemara had said, hachi kamar, this is what it must mean, yoma kama, lo talushali beduvsha. It must be what he said was not milk, but honey. Mikan va'elach, on the first day, don't make it with honey. Mikan va'elach, lushali beduvshan. From then on, you can make it with honey. V'i bayit ema, alternatively. Le'olam b'chalba. Maybe it really meant milk, but there is a permitted way of making it with milk. Kidamar avina ke'in tara. Like an ox's eye. Sorry, that is permitted. Achanami ke'ein Torah. And he's making it as an ox's eye, and we'll see what that means. But the point is that there is a way of making dairy bread permitted. Okay, those are the two relevant sugyot. And in both of them, the Gemara assumes that it is forbidden to make milk or meat bread. Because if you do, you might end up eating that dairy bread with a hamburger. You might end up eating the fleishig bread for your grilled cheese sandwich. Okay, so let's talk about what this means, right? So this is the prohibition that we want to try to understand. So what we want to figure out is, what is the nature of this prohibition? And the second question we're going to have to ask is, how do these solutions, what do they mean and how do they solve it? The Ke'en Torah, right, what does that do to solve it? And what does that tell us about the nature of the prohibition, right? That's basically the evidence that we have, the evidence that we need to understand. Okay, so before we start looking into Rishonim, if I just posed it to you and I said, okay, you have these two Gemara, now formulate the nature of this prohibition. Tell me what the nature of the prohibition is. What would you tell me?
What questions
do you have to ask?
Is this like a video?
Meaning, okay. So one question is going to be, right? Is it always, right? Is it always Asur? Now, when might not it be Asur, Eitan?
In some way, it's very obvious that you like
what it is. Okay, so this is, right, example where it's obvious. And what's it going to this depend on? How do you understand Ke'en Torah? Right? Now, what's another example of something that might change the circumstances?
If you know.
B'dieved what? Is it? Good. So, Kobe says, or I'll make this a separate question actually. Here I would just say, we can also talk about Shogeg versus Mazed. Right? What if I did it on purpose or not? But Kobe's actually asking a different question. That is, right? Post facto. They might be, but why? So Kobe's asking what? What is the nature of the prohibition? Is it to bake? Or what?
Is it to eat?
Right. Or is it that the bread?
Bread now has a tapona.
Right. Is usher. Good. So what hints might you have to this question? If I go to the Gemara, what does it say? Good. So in one place it says Ein Lashon. So on the one hand, Ein Lashon implies that it's Asur to bake. But then what does the Gemara say? V'im Tash, if I put animal fat on the walls of the oven, Kol HaPat Kula Asura. The bread is Asur, right? Good, right? You might think maybe there's two, maybe these are related. Very good. So we got to figure out, is it this or two? And the nafkamina for Kobe is post facto, and this might be related to the question of Shogeg and Mesid, right? Especially as Avi puts it, which is, if you can bake it because you don't want this to happen, but maybe you'll say, okay, maybe if I did it by accident, it would be mutter. It depends on the focus. If the focus is I don't want to have dairy bread as the totsah, as the result, so then maybe even if I did it by shogeg, you're right. Normally I can't bake because I don't want this result, but if I did it by accident, still, the result is the bigger problem. So maybe in that case it would still be osur, but maybe if you say no, maybe primarily it's osur to bake, right? That's how we formulate the osur. Then maybe if I did a bishogeg, it would be fine. Right? Maybe. Okay, what else? So maybe, what do you mean? Because it could be that if I did it by accident, so I didn't violate this because I did it by accident. And if you think that it only becomes osur because I violated the prohibition to bake it, then if I didn't violate the prohibition to bake it because it was by accident.
Right.
So. Very good. So Yoda says, Misvara, this doesn't make sense, right? Misvara, this should be the focus, is the bread is usher. Because if the point is that I don't want you to have something that you're going to end up mixing meat and milk, then it doesn't matter how good your intentions were. It should be result-oriented. And this is a very strong svara, right? Yona is right that Misvara, right, if this makes sense, because this is what's going to prevent the mixing of meat and milk, not this. Who cares about this? Right? What you care about is this, right? Who cares about what I intended to do? What matters is what I have now. And if I have the bagel, which now has meat fat in it, then it doesn't matter if we did it intentionally. If Avi is just hungry and he decides to make a grilled meat sandwich for sheer, then if there's meat in the bagel, that's right, it's going to be problematic. So Yona is right that Misvara, there's good reason to believe that the focus is here, and if that's the case, there'd be no difference, shogeg and mezid. Okay? What's another way of figuring out the post facto question? Or, you know what? I'll put it differently. Different question. What is the question I've told you to ask every time, the Gemara tells you that you have a prohibition and tells you why you have a prohibition?
Is the why?
Yeah, meaning, or is the why reducible to the what? Right? Is the what reducible to the why? Other way around. Right? So the third question I would ask you is, right, is the why what connection? So good. Tell me, what would that look like? Clearly here, what's the why? That you don't want to have bread that will lead you to have meat and milk together. Good. What would it look like for that gzera?
Well,
what would it look like for that gzera to be reducible to the why?
Well, then any of these. Then,
what? Well, okay, no. So broaden it. Before you give me evidence, misvara, what would it look like?
Then,
right. What would it look like for the what? Meaning the prohibition is reducible to the why. That the only thing that you have to be worried about is what?
Then
cases in which
you create.
Give me a kula and a chumrah. How about this, Mordechai? Just you for a minute. Give me a kula and a chumrah that would emerge from saying that in this case the what is reducible to the why. That all there is. A svara?
A concern that you're going
to eat. Give me a kula and a chumra. I want a kula and a chumra. And then, Kobe, you can give me a proof. Give me a kula and a chumra.
Okay, so a kula would be that, then any of these simanim or the fact that if post facto, if you never ended up eating the milk bread with flavor shaking ulcers.
Well, you didn't eat it, but a step before that, which is
if you have any simanim, or if you know about it,
what's reducible to the why. So anything that would prevent me from messing up would be enough, right? If all there is not a formal gzera, but rather Chazal say we don't want you to be in a situation in which you might accidentally take that bagel, which is meat, and make it into a grilled cheese sandwich, then if you did anything which would ensure that you don't eat this fleishig bagel with cheese, that would be enough to solve the problem.
Right.
Good? Give me a chumrah. And then I'll come to Govi. Give me a chumrah. No, a chumrah that comes from what being reducible to a Y. No, you're flipping it. Right? No, a chumrah of this side. Right? A chumrah of saying that it's a Y. What's the chumrah of saying it's a Y? Come on, think. Right, again, saying that there is no what, there's just a why. Namely, Chazal cautioned you against doing something that is going to produce a food that is easily confused and will eat that is dairy and will be eaten with meat or meat and eaten with dairy. And you say there is no formal component here. What Chazal do is warning you against producing this because they don't want you to mess up. So he said on the Kula side, anything that would prevent you from doing that would be sufficient to negate the prohibition, right? Very good. Thank you. That's exactly right, Mordechai. Is that misvara, what's the chumrah that comes out of it? What's the stringency? Is that let's say I had another food that wasn't bread, but had similar concerns. That it's the type of thing that if it becomes fleishik, I will very possibly end up eating it with something which is dairy or vice versa. That thing would be similarly subject to this problem. And the classic case in Poskim is what? I don't know how far you've got in the sources, but what's the classic case in?
Is that what the
very good. Is spices. Very good. It's a salt shaker, right? For example. A salt shaker, you keep your salt shaker at the table, you use it both to salt your French onion soup, which is apparently not salty enough. Yeah, they're usually very salty, right? Or your chicken soup, right? And if it happened to be that let's say your chicken soup fell into the salt, so that salt shaker you shouldn't use, because if it's the what is reducible to a why, meaning all they're saying is don't have the type of thing that is eaten equally both at a dairy meal and a fleishik meal, because you might end up messing it up if it becomes one or the other. So a salt shaker might be the same thing. On the other hand, now, what would it look like for a what not to be reducible to a why? Meaning, for this to be a formal gzera, now give me a kula and a chumra. This is the chumra or the kula? The chumra? The chumra, right. So Abi says the chumra is, well, it doesn't matter. Is that it's a formal gzera. And once we say that you can't make bread that's dairy or meat, so if you have dairy bread or you have meat bread, it is now forbidden, and it doesn't matter. Right? A chumra would tell you that it doesn't matter. In the end of the day, this is a formal gzera against dairy bread or meat bread, motivated by concerns that you might eat it with the opposite thing, but in the end of the day, it's not reducible to that. And therefore, even if there was a case in which I had no concern, it might still be usur. And what would be the kula? Right, potentially the salt shaker, because you might say that, yeah, in theory, there are other cases where the same logic would apply, but maybe we didn't make gzera, and therefore, maybe you, if you're smart, you won't, you won't use it, but it's not going to be formally usher, because when things are formal gzera, sometimes we formally forbid certain cases and other things that could be in the same parsha. It doesn't mean we forbid it. Now, Kobe has been waiting in the wings here to say, but I have a raya. Good, what's your proof, Kobe? So Kobe says correctly that the place where we need to test this is that the Gemara says, if in fact in the extreme you would say that it's for that the that it's formal, and therefore it doesn't matter whether there's an actual concern or not, so then at first glance you would say there's no exceptions. However, we know that there's an exception, and the Gemara calls it Ke'en Torah, that if I make the bread, and we'll see what Ke'en Torah means. But if I make the bread ke'ein Torah, then I am allowed to make dairy bread, and I am allowed to make fleishik bread. Doesn't that show that it's formal?
Well,
and Mordechai pushes back and he says,
and say, well, this is a dinsa.
Mordechai says, oh, come on. No. Just because there's an exception doesn't make it not formal. It just means that you built a formal exception
into the rule.
But, so everyone agrees that there's an exception. Now, if it's substantive, so you'd say the reason there's an exception is because in any case where there's no realistic concern that you're going to end up eating this bread with the opposite meat, milk, whatever, so then there's no concern. So having an exception makes sense. But on the other hand, you could say, if it's formal, maybe they carved out formal exceptions. What would be the nafka mina between a formal exception and a substantive exception?
Let's say you just wrote milk.
Very good. Which is, what if I used an exception which solves the substantive problem, meaning it makes sure they don't mix it, but it isn't whatever this thing is called?
Cain
Torah.
Like maybe triangles instead of actual cows.
Very good. So if it's formal, it might be that you have to follow these exceptions per se. And if it's not formal, you'd say whatever works, works.
Maybe.
But you'll see. Okay, now... one more formulation that if you looked at what I sent you from Abrovsky, he takes this possibility, which is he wants to ask it in a different way. If you want to be very brisker about it, he said, there's another way I could look at this question, and that is, and I hate to do this.
How?
Very simple, right? Which is, is it that the nature of the Yisr is that it creates something which is also from either Rabbanan, or is it that you can't eat bread in these circumstances? Now, right, either it, look, remember, this goes back here. Is it Yisr on the bread or to bake? But another way of saying that is Katsagavra, which I hate. But we're going to leave that. Though we'll see that here it makes, there's a logic to it. We'll sharpen it, but you do have to focus on this question. But that is... right, so these are the questions. We agree that basically these are the questions you have to ask about this prohibition, more or less. Yes. So what does labeling mean? I want to know. No, this is important. I want to know what labeling is.
It's making it clear.
Is it Cain Torah or is it something else?
I'm not sure.
Is it the labeling that the Gemara lists, namely that you bake it in a different in Cain Torah, which we'll see what that means, or is it some other way of making a distinction that you came up with?
Let's go with the first one.
So if it's the first one, presumably, you have no culpability because you were totally allowed to do that. That's where things get more complicated, right? Okay, good. So this is the prohibition that we need to... this is the question we need to figure out, okay? So if we reorganize this a little bit... but if we reorganize this and we said, okay, so if we say one possibility is it's a why, meaning, right, a substantive concern, right, which might be related to Gavra rather than Hefza, meaning it's, right, might be, right, or it's about the baking, right, rather than just the eating, right, or it's about the baking, eating, rather than the bread itself, right? Or is it formal, right? Creates an issue in the chetza, right? It's about the object, right? Which is just chetza in English, right? Good, so, very good. So what nafkamina did we say, right? How are we gonna test this? Right, so really we should start with Ke'en Torah, but let's start with the easier one, which is, right, so the one nafkamina that Morty said was, do we expand
The answer.
Right? If it's a why, what's the answer? That there's a substance of concern, then what if you found something else that has a substance of concern?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And if you said it's formal, just primitive bread,
then something that there's a substantive concern, but it's not bread, would it be usher? No. And who's that a machloket between? The Taz. Exactly, you said before, it's the Taz and basically everybody else.
Oh.
But Yeruch HaShulchan summarizes it. So if you look at Dalit, the Taz says, Shema yavo l'achloim basar, mizeh nireli, shemidocha shedochen ba b'samim u'mishtam shem ha'b'samim, heinim basar, heinim chalav. If you have a spice grinder, salt grinder, pepper grinder, doesn't matter, that you use for meat and milk, u'pam ha'chadachot sham shum im marak shel shuman, and what did you just once do? You made it fleishik. How could you make it fleishik? So, if you know halacha, one of the things... Usually the answer is when you get a shayla halachically about basar b'chalav, almost always the answer is mutter. Almost mutter. Always mutter. Right? Now, obviously, okay, I'll change that. Most times you get a shayla from a family where they keep kosher and they ask you a shayla that relates to basar b'chalav, it is so unlikely that they did something that actually messed anything up post facto. It is usually mutter, because usually it's something like, I dropped my dairy spoon in my fleishik sink. This is what happens all the time. And the answer is, okay, and what would you like for me to do about that? Rinse it off, yalla, let's move on. However, what is the exception? When does everything get messed up?
Onions.
Davar harif, very good. Things that are sharp, because sharp things have magic. That if I cut an onion, which was cooked with, right, with a knife that is fleishik, it now becomes fleishik and turns everything else fleishik, right? Because harif. Wonderful. Onions are onions and garlic, we assume is charif, even though it's not so obvious in the Gemara, but because in the Gemara is the Gemara's answer example is chiltit, asafotida, asafotida, correct.
Is that the same?
What? Oh, no, no, no. Hot foods do, it's just that normally that's not the shayla. Right? Because remember, if you cook meat in a dairy pot that has been used within 24 hours, then yes, it's usher. But most of the time when people call you and said, I accidentally cooked meat in my dairy pot, they're calling you after it's been 24 hours since they used milk. And then the answer is the food is mutter, you just need to kosher the pot because it's eno ben yomo. The reason that spicy things are different is because they aren't subject to the rules of ben yomo, is that that the taste is maintained only within 24 hours, right? So by a pot, it's only a problem, right? A meat, if you cook meat in a dairy pot within 24 hours, it is not kosher. However, most of the time when people call you, it's, I'm heating up my, I took a pot out of my drawer, out of the cupboard. When was the last time you used it? 3 days ago. Okay, so then the evidence is fine. You have to kosher it, but the food is kosher. But onions, but davar harif, is not subject to the rules of ben yomo. It means it brings back taste, even that is become rancid halachically, which is eno ben yomo, which is no dinam lifgam. And that's why onions create such a problem. Okay?
So
the food is kosher, but the pot is now meat. Now, this is your dairy pot. No, not lechatchila, because there was taste in it. It's rancid. It's lefgam, and therefore it doesn't create problems. But lechatchila, you're not supposed to. You have to kasher it. There are two things. This is the thing you have to realize in halacha. Simple shot in halacha is there's a distinction between kashering and post facto whether the food is kosher. Pots sometimes have to be kashered, even when the food that would be cooked there would not be problematic. It's more complicated than that. I cannot go through all of Hilchot Kashrut right now. That's not happening. But like I said, this is important just to understand, because the Taz says, so what's a case that would get very problematic? If you had salt, you had pepper, right? And pepper had chicken soup fall on it. And then you used the grinder. So the grinder is like a knife. Now what happened? You had fleishik davar charif shoved through that essentially mini knife. Pepper is harif, yeah. So So this is a huge machloket of how to define charif. For the moment, he's assuming that this pepper is charif. So he says, so if I have a right pepper grinder, and now I put meat pepper through it, right, because it's charif, that taste is now going to go into the metal. And when I put more pepper, what's going to happen? That pepper will become fleshy, even if it's not the same pepper, because, as I said, it breaks all rules. And whenever I have something which is sharp like that, pushing on davar charif, the taste transfers back into it no matter how long it's been, because it isn't subject to the rules of ben yomo. And therefore, you have this pepper grinder. So he says, pamacha dachusham shum. He says garlic. Okay, it could be pepper, garlic. Im marak shel shuman avaz. Va'achrach machzir ha'rotav she'al avaz. So he says, what's the halacha? Nirali she'ota meducha asura laduchba od bisamim. You can't use that garlic press. You can't use that pepper grinder. Afil lechol b'basar. Even for another meat meal. Why? Shemo ya'avo lechol b'chalav dum yedekan. Because you'll end up eating it with dairy. Just like here. According to Taz, spice grinder is asur because we take the logic of it. So what does the Taz clearly hold? What's the nature of this isur? Is it a formal gzera motivated by the substantive concerns? Or is it a description of the type of concern that you have to be worried about? It's a description. Right? It's a description. And therefore, furthermore, if you want to talk about Chetza Gavra, does he think it's an Isser Chetza or an Isser Gavra? How do I know it's an Isser Gavra?
Concerned about what you're going to do.
So first of all, it's because you're concerned you're going to do, but there's actually a better reason for Taz. There's no Chetza Shel Isser. There's no food. It's the grinder that he's worried about. Right? So there's not even an Isser, right? There's not even an Isser food to speak of. He's not just talking about the spices. He's talking about the actual grinder that you're then going to put other pepper in. So if you can say that it applies to a kli, which is not a food, which could become usher, so the Taz totally holds this and this formulation, right, that it's focused in the gavra, right, because he thinks that it's a substantive concern that you are going to end up eating meat and milk rather than there being an object which is usher. You could, but it'd be weird. Because normally, right?
It's a chefta, but because it's spices and spices.
I understand, but it's not the spices. It's the spice grinder. So you'd have to say that even though the Gemara is introducing an Isser on food, he's willing to create an Isser chefta in something which isn't even
food,
right? So this is very, it's not an obvious move. The simple part of the Taz is that he thinks it's an Isser gavra, and he thinks it's about a white. It's right, substantive rather than formal.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the Aruch HaShulchan summarizes most of the Achronim, and he says as follows: Asru Chazal Lalush Isa Bechalav. Chazal forbade kneading bread with milk below Heker without a reminder. Again, we'll come back to the reminder in a minute. Kedei Shlo Yavou Leachlo Im Basar. So you don't end up eating it with meat. Demitoch Shapat Hu Ikara Achila. Because bread is the primary food, right? It was people's staple. The bein achilat basar, bein achilat chalav, eino ne'achal below pot. People didn't eat meat or milk without bread. And that was the staple of all of their meals. Chashishu shelo yavo le'achla im basar. They were worried that you would eat it with meat. V'gadju bazegeder gadol. So they set up a very important fence. Ad she'amru, to the point where they said, she'im afu pat zeh she'nilosh b'chalav, that if you baked this bread, which was mixed with milk, asur l'ochla klal, you can't eat it at all, afilu levado, even by itself, afilu im chalav, even with milk, even with dairy, gzeira she'am yochlanu basar, gzeira, you might end up eating it with meat, mitoch she'zeh matsui me'od, because since this is very common, im lo gadju ze begeder gadol, if they hadn't put up a big fence, lo haya mitkayim, you wouldn't survive. V'lachein, ein lishol lama pasachnu b'sifa kodem b'tznon, shechatcho b'sakin shel basar shachul lechol b'chalav. And therefore, you can't ask me about sharp foods, spices, all those other things. Doesn't the same logic apply by the spice shaker? What's his answer? Yes, the logic does apply, but it's a formal gzera. Dipat shiny dal lechem liyichye. Ha'adam, right? People live on bread. But we didn't make the gzera on other things. Yeah. It's another example of things that are considered Devar Harif.
Radishes?
Yes. I understand radishes are more bitter than Harif, but okay, fine. Okay, so this is the first, right, Nafkamina. However, the most important thing that we need to see to figure out the nature of the Isser is not the theoretical Nafkamina that the Taz comes up with, but the exception that the Gemara itself outlines, because the Gemara gives you a heter, and the Gemara says, what is the heter?
Kain Torah.
Kain Torah. Right, good. What does Kain Torah mean?
Like the something of a bowl.
So here there is two deot. Rashi says, Kain Torah. Me'at ke'ein shel tor mutar lalush bechalav. Me'at, it's small, like the eye of an ox. The bread itself is that it's small and it's eaten in one sitting. You eat it in one day. And you don't leave it around such that, right, I bake it, I eat it. So Rashi says it's a difference of quantity. And that all Ke'en Torah means is that I bake a very small quantity of bread. And if I bake a small quantity of bread, so why is that okay? Very good. The Rif, on the other hand, says that what is Ke'en Torah, and this is the same as the Rambam, so if you go back here to Gimel, yeah, he's actually changed the way it looks. He says, so look at the Rambam, V'imshina b'tzurat apat, ad she'etin ikerek d'shilocha lo basar v'lo chalav, or is it mutar? If you change its shape so that you know that it is different, then it is mutter. Now, what shape is it? So most Rishonim assume Kain Torah as a triangle. Even though, as I mentioned the Mordechai, we did find certain molds where it looks like a cow. So Kain Torah might have originally meant Pshuto Kimashmo, that you bake something that looks like a cow. Now, admittedly, that can be very confusing, because is that dairy or fleishik? Right? That can be very, very confusing there. So, I mean, no, you can even eat it with paro, because otherwise it'd be treif. But according to, now, are the Rif, and Rashi, or the Rambam and Rashi, are they arguing? What do you think? Is it obvious that they're arguing? What do you think?
No.
No, why is it not obvious? Very good. Meaning, it could be that they're just giving you two examples, right? Who seems to hold that? Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes both. Right? Shulchan Aruch quotes both. I did it, it's not even here. But the point is, he quotes both, right? If you want me to read it, I'll read it to you. See, I tried to limit myself by giving you a pre-made sheet rather than my own, which when I sat down to Chazal the Sugya, I'm like, that was a good idea because otherwise I would give you a lot more. Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Very simply, Ein Lashin Isa B'Chalav, you don't need bread with milk. Shema Yavol L'Ochlo Ima Basar, because you might end up eating it with meat. V'im Lash Kol Isa Asura, and if you don't, it is Asur. Avil Ochlo Vada, V'yavdinu Kein Torah, Shari, and if you made a Kein Torah, it is Mutter. Sorry, this is, first I'm reading the Torah. The Torah quotes, Perish Rashi, Shlo Lash Al Davar Mu'adu Gaktana. Rashi says, you make it small. Rav Ilfiz Perish, and the Rif says, Shasa man, shinui perish churot ke'ein ashur. You actually change its shape. Achayotzebo, shemitoch kach yizkor, sheyesh ba chalav. Because by putting it in a different shape, you'll remember that it is milk. Shulchan Aruch quotes, ein lashin isa bechalav, shema yavachlo imbasar. You can't mix the dough with milk, because you might eat it with milk. In lash kol apar asura, if you do it, asura afil achol avada. The imu davar muad, and if it's a little bit, kedachi lavavad achad, enough to eat it at once. Oh, shishina tzurat apat, or you change the shape, shini keret, shayochol vavavasar mutar. Then it is mutar. And the Rama says, lemaisa, when did they rely on this? So if you look at the Beit Yosef and the Rama now, here in 9 and 10, the Beit Yosef quotes the Shari Dura, because of Od Bahagot Shari Dura, Heter Pashtun, Otam Lechamim, Shosun Lechot Shabbat, Lechem Mishnah, Ovno Ima Pashtida, Lechatchila, Mishum Davar Moadu, Venechal, Maher Bishabbat, and Gain Torah. So apparently their minog was to eat, was to, in certain places, was to bake the challah for Shabbos with the meat. Right, it, with the meat that they were baking, and the Shari Dura says, that's fine, because you eat it on Shabbat. Now, there is, obviously, a technicality here, which is, you have to ask, even within Rashi, how fast is fast? Right? How fast is fast? What possibilities might it be? So you might think that fast is immediate. Yeah. And you might think, yeah, you could say that it's within a day, right? So different poskim suggest different circumstances. Or whatever, right, that is meant to be eaten today, or whatever. And again, this is a machloket achronim, what Rashi would say. But simple pshat in Shulchan Aruch is, does he think that Rashi and the Rif are necessarily arguing with each other? No. Right? Right, no. Right, he doesn't think that... Right, he doesn't think that it is. Right, he thinks these are two ways of getting to the same point. Is that obvious? Is that obvious? Yeah. Right, and by the way, just look at the Rama. The Rama gives you another nafkamina. People would make dairy bread on Shavuot. And they would put animal fat for Shabbat. But he noted that they would make it in a different
shape.
Yeah. So you could just say that the Rashi and the Rif are what? Are just giving you two examples of preventing the Isser. However, it's possible that what?
That they're arguing
that they're arguing. This is what Abravdi suggests, which is that Rashi and the Rif are arguing on this line, on Isser Gavra and Isser Chetza. Why? Because they said, let's go back. If you think that the nature of the Isser is that it creates Usser bread, so you said it might not have exceptions, but that's not clear. What it might have exceptions, because you can always carve out formal exceptions. What do formal exceptions look like? Think about it. What's the easiest way to make a formal exception?
You mention it.
You change the object that the Isser applies to. According to the Rif, if I want to make dairy bread, what do I need to do? Change the shape itself. Right? I need to change the bread itself. So if I change shape, so if I change the shape, correct. But if you say that I make a small quantity, so you could say that a small quantity is also a different heftza. But if you say kain tara means it's much as long as I make it in a small quantity,
that changes the situation.
Exactly. It more changes. So you could argue, if you really, really want it, that Rashi agrees that it's formal. Right? But again, even though... Now, Shulchan Aruch equates them. Shulchan Aruch says you can hold both. Now, either that's because he holds that it's an Isser Chefza, but quantity or shape are both changes in the Chefza, or he thinks that according to both of them, it's substantive, and the only question is, right, there are two different ways of removing the practical concern. However, if I didn't have Shulchan Aruch equating them, Misvara, you could have said that no. If it's formal, you actually have to change
the shape. But if it's situational, then all you need to do is change the circumstance.
Right? Now,
there is a way to test this. There's a way to test this. Let's say you wanted to argue that baking something in a small quantity is also considered a change b'cheftza, rather than a situational change. How would you test that? Come on, tell me. How would you test that? We're going to get to that in a minute. But the simplest way is there an objective share of small, or is it how much you are going to eat?
Or to put it even more simply...
The case of that the post can bring up, look at the Aruch HaShulchan who summarizes it, is, so there's a machloket. Okay, I'm not going to get into it, but the Acharonim argue, first of all, whether it's that day or right away. But okay, that's not a huge difference. I'm not convinced that quantity of machloket matters. But there's a bigger difference, right? Because if you say that miyad means that day, or miyad means the whole day, or sorry, that meal or that day, you could say that's just a quantitative machloket. Where do I draw the line? But there's a much easier way of testing, and that is, what if you have a family of 15 children? Mazel tov. Okay, I'm scaring you. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay? So now you have a tremendous amount of bread that you bake for Shabbos with meat mixed into it. But you're going to eat it at that meal because you have your 15 kids and their spouses and their 15 kids each. Right? So do the math. Right, so it's Mordechai and his wife. They have 15 kids and spouses, so now that's 2 plus 30, right? It's 32. And each of them have 15 kids, right? So it's another 225, right?
257
people. Yeah, that's a lot.
What if I wanted to have 15 siblings?
That too, obviously. So if you think, so guys, if you think that by saying small quantity, Rashi is focusing on the Chefza, then if something is objectively a large quantity, but it happens to be that situationally we're going to eat it right away, Rashi presumably would disagree and say that case is usser. But if you think that Rashi thinks that baking in a small quantity is okay because it isn't an isser chefza, it's an isser gavra, it's substantive rather than formal, it's situational rather than inherent in the object, then how much is a lot depends on
how
many people are going to be eating this bread. So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, Kamu davar mu'at, kidei achilat yom echad, ulefi zeh, says, according to this, in B'nei Beito, Mirubim, if you have a big family, which we've established, Mordechai has a very big family in this theoretical scenario, Yachol lalush b'chalav, mashehu v'nei voter tzichim, l'achilat yom echad, shumeit le'eit. You can make what everybody in your family needs for the next 24 hours. So if you are having a huge, huge meal for all of Shabbos, so you have your 257 people in your family and you're having them over for Shabbos, that's three meals. So then we're talking, right? That's a lot of bread. But situationally, it's considered davar mu'at because it'll be done by the time Shabbat is over. But objectively speaking, it is not. And therefore, Abrovsky says, based on that, there's good reason, despite the fact that Shulchan Aruch equates Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi and Riff and Rambam, there is good reason to believe that
Rashi is changing the situation with the context of closing.
Correct. That Rashi, again, not necessarily the halacha, because maybe the halacha will accept the heter of both heter, which are included in Shulchan Aruch,
right,
but misvara, there's good reason to believe that Rashi himself, definitely based on the way the Aruch HaShulchan takes it, is focusing on an Isser Gavra.
No, Shulchan Aruch is
whereas, right, this is not nearly as obvious when you're dealing with the Riff, right? When you're dealing with the Riff,
okay?
So that is a second nafkam, you know, which is, what type of change would you expect? Is it situational? And, or is it chetza? Now there's one more, and this is probably the most important. And this is,
unfortunately, guys, I go to the, is Heker La'achar
Afia. This is a variation on the second Nafkamina, but this is probably the most important Nafkamina. What is Heker La'achar Afia? If I make a distinction, which, what? Which will, that, I, but I baked it without. I make a heker after I bake it. Does that help? So, what would that look like? So, heker lachar afia slash an external that you might distinguish between them. Or you might equate them, but what if you change it after it's baked? So now you tell me, or I change the situation, but I don't change the bread itself. Give me two very easy examples, probably, but which one of them is the most important, Lamaisa? Good. So one is, what if I didn't bake it, Kein Torah, or I didn't bake it in a small quantity, if you think quantity is also about changing the chefza. But as soon as I bake it, I cut it into triangles, or I cut it into small pieces. So does that work? So you tell me. If it's... No, it would not. But if it's situational, and I cut this into pieces, into small pieces, then I give it out. Right? Instead, I cut it into small pieces and then give it out to everybody. Right, I cut it into small pieces and I tell them. I get a whole group of people and I take it. Correct. And then I call 20 people into my house and say, here's, right, a piece of this huge bread. If it's situational, would that work? Yes. And that's very theoretical. But the external, internal is even more important. And that is Wonder Bread says on it, triangle K, D. Right? Triangle K, D. At least it did for a long time. And And if I, unless I am mistaken for a very, I am wrong. Apparently now it has OU. But until 2013, it was triangle K. Okay. But originally, when it was dairy. Now you'll tell me, it says that it's dairy on the package. Does that work? So you tell me.
I feel like not.
Why not? Okay, so if you think about it, that's, then does the label help? No. If you think it's situational, so you might say no because you could take off the label, or you might say, right, you can at least argue, right, you put in theory.
If we're going so formal that
he's reading the chesed, then why would we need to say? Right. So look at these nafkamina, guys. So now look at Yud Bet, guys. Look at Yud Bet through Yud Zayin. We're going to run through these sources, okay? But now you know the lumdus behind it. Ready? Bade Shulchan says the Yesh and Yeremid Varav Devin and Davka Nishanu Kol Tzur Apat. Some say you have to change the whole thing. Of Alasot Bo Eza Simon Kugon Lershom Ba Isa Otir Chalav Lo Mahani. But if you just like write the letters Chalav, it doesn't work. Chayshin and Shema Lo Yashkiach B'Simag Javel Lo Achlo. Some say it's problem. Why? So he says, first of all, you could in theory argue that that doesn't work even situationally. Or here, I have to really change this.
Situation, yes, / maybe, right?
So he says some people challenge it even situationally because they'll say it's one thing, it's in a different shape. It's another thing, you write a little bit in the corner, dairy, you know, like the way the chocolate from Badatz here has the Badatz stamped into the chocolate. But he says, but if you stamp the word chalav into the bread, then maybe that's on the other side of the loaf, and you'll eat that first, and then it won't be there. So situationally, you might be more machmir. But he says, Al-Khirim got with the simon mani. I know you were at the nurse, just quickly, Nadav, right? Whereas the next nafkamina we're doing is, can you create a heker after baking, / an external after, like a label, or cut it into the shape after I bake it? So if it's an isser chefza, presumably not, because it didn't transform it. It was baked the isser. If it's situational, presumably yes. So he says, I'm the nearest in the lechol tchila oto chila kapat. So Bade Shulchan says very reasonably is, if you want to say it's situational, and therefore you can make a hector afterwards, and you can write it in, right? Now this is actually a different question, which is, can I make a small simen that doesn't change the whole bread? So I'll do another one here, which is a small change, which doesn't change everything. So again, presumably this would be no, and this would be maybe. So he says, maybe that works, but what should you do? Eat the part of the bread that says dairy last. Okay, that's when the situational approach. But what about the label question or changing it afterwards? Not the small change, but the external. So here, if you look at the Pitchei Tshuva quotes the Chavot Dad, look at your Gimel. Shekadav Ha'od, the Shinu Einmo, Rak Sheshina B'Shad Afia. It has to be at the time of baking. The Lohavei Alav Isser Klal, because then it was never Usser. But to change it after it was already forbidden? Ain't no moil, why not? Because it was already baked? Be'isser. Similarly, if you divide it to many people, and they're each getting a small piece, but it was baked be'isser, it's usser. Why? Kevan Shikvar Nesar Vanasa Nevela. Look at his language. It already is usser and it's like Nevela. Meaning it's usser, Bechefza. But he notes that's the Prima Goddam, but who argues? But does everyone agree? No, the Kretu Plati said it's mutter. Kretu Plati. Rubino Snipchitz. He wrote a parish on your day called Kretu Plati. You look at the Kol Mevaser. And right, that's Rishon Rath Yadalid. Hinek fiatakti a partikilim shenishwa ilai itziu. Something I mentioned a lot. So it's similar to that. Adbakat shei pitkaot ashek to the lechem. People suggested putting labels on the two sides of the bread. Aval siman kazeh befadei nichom lasu rakach rafia. He says you can't do it because you're putting a label afterwards. V'lokotav agon balchavodat acharafia inomol atikun. after baking, it doesn't fix it. Came in Shavar Neser HaPad, it's Asur. Now he says, right, he argues that even situationally it would be Asur. Avo Belava Achia Tekona Zehu Lohi, Elbin Didan, Zulat Lakona Lechem Shalem. That would only work if you had the whole loaf. Shadam Bikur Kayaman, Avo Lechem Azen Echtach Lapruzot, Minotim Misadaba De Ochal Vein Ochal Yochal Akirat Zechal Vein Loh. So he says labels don't work for two reasons. One is Isra Bechefza, and even Begavra, as I said, it's only a maybe. He says, no, you might lose the label. You might have the wrong side of the bread. And therefore, he doesn't think it works. The Aruch HaShulchan says, he says, you have to be worried about guests, right? Just because you know it's small, right? Again, you can't do something that you know. So the answer is, does something have an after up here or an external? Does it work or not? According to the Isra Bechefza, definitely not. According to the Isser Gavra on the situational one, maybe. It might. Not necessarily. You still might think the situation is bad. Now, most poskim, I think, are Machner. But which major posek was Mekel? The Rav. So if you look at Nefesh HaRav in Ted Zion, Minipnine HaRav, V'Rabbeinu Amar, B'Shem Aviv HaGram Tzolavetchik LeHefech. Where he says, even though most poskim are Machmir, the Rav was Mako, based on his father. As long as it's on the package, it works. Right? He paskins it's situational. And therefore a label works. That was the logic behind Wonder Bread being triangle K D. That it was dairy because it says it. Right? It says it, and it's fine. So even though it doesn't look any different than the other bread because it's just bread.
Would the Rav expand
this
to spices?
I don't know. Whether he would accept the kula or the chumra, I don't know. That I don't know. Good. So now, the classic muffin answer to this question was English muffins. Right? We're English. Okay. So, first I'll read you what I sent you, which was document X118 from the OU. But then you have the more public one here. So, originally, why was it mutter? So Rav Schechter said, again, I sent it to you. This is X118. Hold that thought. They're dairy. English muffin, Thomas's English muffins say OUD. Aye, how could it be OUD? Isn't it dairy bread? Okay. If I read it to you, they said, the reason why one may not produce dairy and wheat bread is because people are so used to eating bread with meals, they might come to accidentally eat the dairy bread with meat or vice versa. However, this is only a real concern with generic bread, but not with one that has a unique shape, since the person doesn't view this as regular bread. Rather, they know that it's something special and give thought before they eat it with meat or dairy. Thus, the important point is not whether people make the bread parev or not. Rather, the criteria is whether people view this as another type of bread, in which case it must be parev, or if they view it as something special, in which case it can be dairy or meat. In this context, one cannot make dairy bagels, even though bagels have a unique shape. Right? So it's not just unique shape. It has to be a unique shape that what? People associate with dairy or meat. So bagels are a unique shape. Doesn't matter. But Thomas's English muffins were the first muffins that post people ever saw, or at least the original kosher muffin, and at the same time they were dairy. Therefore, it never became, again, this is an official document from the OU, it never became bagelized and viewed as another type of bread. Rather, it was always seen as something special, which was dairy and couldn't be eaten with meat. Although, nowadays, there are parev muffins, that doesn't take away from the fact that people view muffins as a special item, which isn't necessarily parev, and wouldn't eat a muffin unless they were sure the specific one is parev. However, that was originally true. But Rav Schechter says nowadays that what? The heter doesn't work anymore. Why not? Because now companies have started making parev English muffins. And therefore, why is it mutter? So look, you have an English summary of it here in Yud Zayin. This is from the public document from the OU. right? At one time, it was argued that English muffins have unique shape, and therefore the first leniency applies. While this explanation may have been true at one time, the OU no longer considers this valid. At the present, both dairy and part of English muffins are commercially available. As such, the unique shape of an English muffin does not currently alert one to the dairy status. Others have suggested. So what was the second cool-up people wanted to savor English muffins? The shape is, sorry, it's the size is they are one meal
per muffin.
Right, per muffin. So others suggest that a single muffin is generally eaten in one sitting, and the second leniency above applies. However, did the postgame accept this?
No, because they come in packages.
Correct. This reasoning has been rejected as well because muffins are typically sold in packages, which should be viewed as one unit. Right? They said it's not one. It's not like I baked it. It's like I have a whole thing sitting on my shelf. A package of muffins is certainly more than one serving. So what's I? So if that's the case, and I'll read you now Rosh Hashanah's actual psak. Kamadumali, this is in what I sent you from the OU. Right, Rav Shechter rejected the reasoning as follows. Kemedumeli, it seems to me, Shilfnei Yashrim Shana, Shirakaya Muffins Chalavim. Muffins. Mem Aleph Pei Ayin Nun Shmuchik Zayin. There were dairy, Arezin Eshav Lashinoit Surah. It was a different shape, Kain Torah. Mashinevu Beturat Muffins. Achkaechik Varishtana Matzap, and now it's different. Sheish Harbek Companies shows him muffins parva. Shuv Navol Pita Bibiro Vatal Etzerzesh. So now it is Aser Vein Latel Mitam Bitl Bashishim. So we'll get to the reason that it is in fact Mutter. I will note if you turn to the end of the document that you have, page three, Rebelsky. So when Rebelsky was alive, the way Psak worked in the OU is that the two main poskim were Rav Shechter and Rebelsky. And if there was a machloka between them, Rabbi Ganak was the machria. Okay? Then he passed away. I'm not sure who took his place. But if you look on page 3, Rebelsky says, you know why I think English muffins are mutter? Umasha Omar Torah Shinach Lakona Lechol Muffin. He puts the English. Right, Shere. But that's something else. You can't. It's not usher to buy, because it's fine. One second. Okay, fine. Now, what was the reason? Maybe it's in the other one. So what is the reason, therefore, that the So what is the reason? So a second reason you might say it's mutter is because of the packaging, if you poskin like the Rav. However, that is not why. Lemaisa, they are makel. Why are they makel? Because it's not actually dairy. That's the secret, is that Thomas's English muffins are not dairy. They have less than shishim of milk. So why do they have milk? So according to Rabbi Ganak, why does it say dairy? If it doesn't... No, it has milk, but less than the 60th. So why is it even there? Does it make it taste better? No, it's because apparently Thomas Ziegler's muffins, people think that if it has dairy, it'll be creamier. So they put a tiny bit of milk that doesn't affect the taste, doesn't do anything. According to them, it doesn't affect the taste, but people think it affects the taste. So if you look, so here's in the official document you have, it says, the real reason is bitul. It appears that the dairy component of English muffins, in fact, bitul b'shishim, and the muffins are, in fact, parev, thereby avoiding the issue of produced dairy bread, but would nonetheless be labeled OUD, base of concerns of bitul l'chatchila, because since you added the milk intentionally, it is dairy because of bitul l'chatchila, but it's not really dairy. Now, if this is true, it would lead to a secondary issue as to whether one must eat the muffin with meat. Right, if it's really parev, so should one say that eating the muffin with meat would retroactively create a situation of pitul l'chatchila because the dairy is mixed into the bread, they'll be eaten with mead? Or should one say that there isn't bitul l'chatchila since the muffins are specifically labeled to be not used with meat, i.e. OUD? Therefore, the company or ashkacha can possibly have been mevatel l'chatchila. Right, so he says, you have to call it dairy because otherwise it would be pitul l'chatchila. But eating it with meat shouldn't retroactively make it l'chatchila on behalf of the consumer because... You labeled it. So is it possible to have the best? So he says, is it possible to have the best of both worlds? That you can purposely put dairy into the bread, but the bread is permitted, isn't dairy bread, is even permitted to use with meat? Right? Can you get to that conclusion? So Shechter said no. The middle position. Because he says, right? The extremes would be you can't have it teed at all, or you can eat, bake it even to eat with meat. And Rav Shechter accepts the middle position, which is it's not dairy bread for the purpose of the Isser of dairy bread, but. But you can't eat it with meat. And then he gets into whether buying it is a maisa bittel, etc. Now, was Rav Shechter willing to rely on the labeling, Svara? No, he relies on bittel. But Rav Belsky said, why are English muffins mutter? Labeling. Right, so he says, "Ani miskim l'kol anal." I agree with everything above. Befrat l'svarda Rav Shlomo Shmuel Malkom shetzino shezeh chalavi lo yitachin lagid al sheish bo bittel lechatchila ki chol inyan bittel lazer shachnasad adavra mitbatel yek ilu lo haya, because bittel is by making it not exist. Aval kishemet sainim alav d. When you put the letter d, hare marim bazesh rotzim sheyeh ufadonikar, etc. Right, and he says, right, so the OUD solves the problems. That might solve the Chalav Yisrael problem, the Chalav, the Pat Chalavi problem. It might also solve the Bittel problem, and Rabbi Luban here spells it out, because since by putting D, you're making clear that you don't want people to eat it with meat, you've solved that problem. Now, very, very, very quickly, there is a machloket, which I don't know if we'll get a chance to discuss, which is, what about cookies and cakes? Okay? But the simple pshat that even if cookies and cakes are not relevant for reasons that either we won't discuss or I will break my promise and spill over into another day. But that's because if I had 10 more minutes, it would be fine. But you weren't here when I wanted to start. Anyways, yeah, I'm blaming you. That's right. Not really. So the other problem, but what non-bread thing do you think definitely does have the issur of dairy bread? Crackers. Right? The OU takes it kedavar pasha, that crackers would be a problem because crackers, just like bread, you could put cheese on it, you could put liver on it, right? What's the problem? What OU labeled crackers have OUD? Ritz. Ritz crackers are OUD. So what's the problem? So how is it mutter? So he says, you might have said that it's cane Torah, it's in a different shape. That was only true when Ritz crackers were the only people making crackers in this shape. Nowadays, that circle with the ridges, right? But now everybody makes crackers with circle ridges, so does that heter work? No. So the second possible heter would be the label, which again is subject to... Good. What's the real reason that the OU says that Ritz crackers are mutter, and this is in document X77? It's not actually dairy. So even if you would have thought that the reason for both of these is because of the shape or the label, it turns out that that is not why it is mutter. It's mutter because Ritz crackers are the same thing, are also not really dairy, and that is why they are not a problem. Okay. The things that we did not get to, which I don't care to not get to at all because we've really covered the main lumdus, but if you want, then we can let us go over. One is to briefly talk about the question of why we're not worried about cookies and cakes and pies, right? Whether that's in the Isser. which again will take us like, you know, very, very, very short. The other thing is, if you want to deal with the other real nafkamina, is what if, so remember we talked about the Yisr Chav versus Yisr Gavra, there is one potential inverse nafkamina, and that is pariv bread that became dairy. Because that would flip the nafkamina, right? Because if it's about an Yisr Chavsa, it was created beheter and then milk poured on it. But if it's situational, it might now become pat chalavi. So if you want, we can spend a little bit of time on that. I hate myself for doing this. Well,